So the CDC has been sending these teams of folks all around the country to state and local health departments that are really struggling to get a handle on the virus right now, especially in Black and brown communities that are really seeing disproportionate cases and deaths. And so this team from CDC went down to Georgia earlier this year. And they didn't give local health departments much of a heads up about what they were doing. And they started going door to door in these communities of color, asking people to participate in an antibody survey, which involves giving blood. As you might imagine, this didn't go well. People were very alarmed to see government officials showing up unannounced at their door asking for blood samples. There's a long history of experimenting in the health sphere on communities of color, and all of that really led to people being scared and calling local civil rights groups, calling local officials, saying what's going on. This really wasn't reported outside of very local media, and so we wanted to highlight it as an example of the disconnect that has been happening all around the country, where the CDC is attempting to, you know, do the right thing, get information, and yet we have these snafus.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, Alice Miranda Olstein on how the CDC's efforts to address racial disparities in the coronavirus pandemic are running into perhaps the biggest snafu of all, a lack of a coordinated national response. What do we know at this point about racial disparities in the pandemic?
The data we have is limited because states took a while before they even started collecting data on the different races of people who were getting coronavirus, who were hospitalized, who were dying, and some are still not adequately collecting that data and giving it to the federal government. The federal government also has not, until very recently, done much to compile and make that data public, but we do know, based on the data that the CDC did put out, that Latino and Black residents in the U.S. have been hospitalized about 5 times more than white residents, and for Native Americans, it's 6 times more. So a really huge disparity. And in some areas, it's even worse in terms of the makeup of who is getting the virus based on what proportion that group is of the general population.
So now the CDC is trying something different in response to these numbers, sending these task forces to individual communities to work on racial disparities. What exactly are they doing?
So it depends. Sometimes the visits are just a few days. Sometimes they can last for weeks. And it depends on the area of the country. So we reported on in Northwest Arkansas, the state invited them in to help study why Latino and residents from the Marshall Islands were disproportionately getting the virus and suffering from it. These are folks who work at local poultry plants in large part. They're considered essential workers. And the CDC interviewed them in focus groups. They went around to small businesses and talked to people. They met with folks at the state health department, and they produced reports with recommendations. This is happening just all around the country. Their CDC has sent out hundreds of people over the course of the pandemic. What we found, though, is even when these recommendations are, you know, absolutely good and based on science, the states either don't have the financial resources or in some instances don't have the political will to implement them. And because we don't have any kind of national strategy or plan on testing, contact tracing, acquiring protective equipment, you name it, really any of this, or even on messaging and how to get information out to people, there's not like an overarching national effort on that. It's all up to individual states. A lot of these recommendations run the risk of going the same place that CDC's recommendations at the federal level have gone, which is nowhere.
What are some of the recommendations the CDC has come up with as a result of these task forces?
In Arkansas, they found that because it was taking just days and days and days for people to get their test results back, and they couldn't afford to miss work for those days, they just kept going to work sick. Also, people live in crowded multi-generational housing for economic and cultural reasons, and thus were not able to isolate when sick. So these are obvious forces. We know that people's economic circumstances and living circumstances really determine how much or little they are able to follow these public health guidelines. And so the CDC recommended that the state basically pay people to stay home, give people the resources they need to be able to miss work and isolate and not spread the virus to others. Whether that will happen is unclear. They also recommended that the state contact people 24 hours after they get tested, if they test positive. That's absolutely not happening. That's a struggle all around the country. And again, that's another area where a lot of state officials say we need a national testing strategy to address these delays.
Isn't there an argument to be made, though, regardless of how strong the national strategy is, that the CDC is making an effort here and, you know, showing some sort of change in thinking or strategy for the administration when it comes to addressing racial disparities?
I would say that they're absolutely making an effort, and they're making an effort beyond these field teams. There's a new partnership with the historically Black Morehouse College of Medicine, and that is aimed at coming up with strategies to help protect communities of color. They also appointed a new equity official to really study this issue. So, you know, there's efforts on a lot of fronts. But like I said, states and local communities often don't have the resources or don't have the support from the federal level to put a lot of these very sound recommendations into effect.
What do you think this situation tells us about the country's coronavirus response? The fact that we have the research, we have the recommendations, but an inability to act on it.
I mean, I think it's just yet another area in which the pandemic response has been a patchwork, and that has really hampered a lot of these efforts. We're just hearing again and again from the local level that had there been national strategies and national programs and national resources put towards all of these things, it would have made a much bigger difference than the current situation where it's really every state and every community for itself.
Alice Miranda Olstein, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Also today, the House of Representatives has passed its $741 billion defense policy bill that sets up a possible clash with President Trump over renaming military bases. Just hours before the final vote, the White House formally warned that Trump would veto the bill if it reached his desk in its current form due to a provision that would force the Pentagon to remove Confederate leaders from the names of Army bases over the course of a year, saying, quote, President Trump has been clear in his opposition to politically motivated attempts like this to rewrite history and to displace the enduring legacy of the American Revolution with a new left-wing cultural revolution. Trump is at odds not only with House Democrats, but also with military leaders and members of his own party. The measure passed the House on a 295-125 vote with deep support from both parties, and a majority representing enough votes to override a veto from Trump. And the U.S. has recorded more than 1,000 deaths from coronavirus in a single day for the first time in months. The grim milestone came on Tuesday and marks another sign that America is still struggling to contain the pandemic 6 months after it first emerged in the country. Daily fatalities had been falling steadily for months after peaking at more than 2,000 in April, but deaths began trending upwards again earlier this month as new surges emerged in the South and West. Despite those rises in infections, in recent weeks, President Trump and his allies pointed to declining deaths as a sign that the country was successfully fighting the virus. But on Tuesday, Trump struck a different tone, acknowledging that outbreaks will likely intensify and saying, quote, it will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And to stay up on all of our latest coverage of the coronavirus pandemic, sign up for the Politico Nightly Newsletter. You can do that at politico.com/newsletters. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.